Welcome to this week's call. We're heading into round three of the five koshas. We're working with transforming fear into its healthy role. Well, I think of it as doing a few things. One, it helps us to take practical action and to just accurately perceive our survival in a way that gets to be tended to instinctually. And it's not necessarily something that needs to be thought about. So I think if fear is something that we're consistently having our mind turn towards versus just be able to instinctively react towards, then there might be something up in terms of our psychology. And most of us were taught to fear things, we're taught to fear a lot of things, not meant to. We are taught to fear a lot of things. So as we head into this round, we invite us to look in particularly at our preconceived conditionings and our preconceived established thoughts around what we think might even be possible within that all. And I'm going to layer in one more thing. And that's just a general invite for this entire round, as well as this is a general invitation for this entire round. Is there anything in particular that you are looking to manifest? Is there anything in particular that you are orienting towards? Is there anything in particular that you are calling in? And if there is something that feels like there's something that you're interested in turning your thoughts towards, I'm going to invite you to do that now. Just bring that to mind. And if nothing is clear in this moment, that's okay too. It might show up later on. And when it does, I'm going to invite you to notice what is the feeling of having the thing that you are orienting towards providing for you. So what will be the feel behind all that you are turning towards or calling in? As you get a sense of that feeling, there may be a sensation that goes with it, there might be a word or two that goes with it, or there might be some other sensory information around that all. Just taking it in with whatever information the five senses are booting up around that all. And in this way, as we orient towards the senses, we begin to notice what's actually behind the desire for that thing. It may actually be more so the desire for all that you are connected to right now. Okay. So invitation to stay with that process for as much or as little as you like, as however much you feel called to towards this round. And I'll likely cue it a little bit through each session that we do for the next couple of months for this round. And I'm going to also invite you to invite that in as ongoing homework. It's an exercise that you can actually walk yourself through just when you're waking up, just as you're falling asleep. Spending a minute or two on it doesn't need to be lengthy, but just taking momentary pauses throughout your day or at some point in your day to check in on what that is for you and what that seems to be like in this moment or in that day, because it may actually fluctuate and change just a little bit. As you get to know it, there might be other information that comes through around it all. Okay, loves. Then we're going to take a moment to settle on into your seats if you haven't already and connect to your breath. Every inhale, an opportunity to call in, to receive, to drink in life. And every exhale, an opportunity to release, to let go. To make space. And every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. If any part of that is pleasant, even neutral, taking time to savor it. And to appreciate it, to drink it in just a little bit deeper. Then I mean, excuse me, we invite you to on purpose locate something either externally or internally. As you do that, I'm going to invite you to, in particular, let your senses go for a bit of a walk to locate that thing. And as you go for a little bit of a walk around the space with your senses, I wonder what it might be like to land on one thing in particular that's pleasant to neutral. One thing in particular that's pleasant to neutral. And as you look at that thing, I'm going to invite you to notice all the things that you like the most about that thing. It might be the color, the shape, the size. It might remind you of something. Or it might be like the way the light, the shadow play with it, or the negative space that it creates. And as you appreciate whatever it is you're drawn to in this moment, the invitation is to begin to notice how your body responds. And if any part of that feels, again, pleasant to neutral, invitation to continue to appreciate and to drink that in by means of savoring it. And as you stay with that, I'm going to offer these words. Thank you for the opportunity to gather here today. And thank you to all that's gone into this sweet moment of connection. Thank you to the villages that support you. And thank you to the families that created you, your ancestors, your lineages. The deepest of thank you to those that have nourished you by means of taking care of the earth, her land, and literally growing the food that feeds you. Thank you to all of those that have stewarded these lands and these ways of practicing well. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti, peace, peace, peace. And we're gonna work with the sixth house. To start off with, the sixth house is very much the house of practical action and being in service to our bodies, our minds. It's also the house of the small intestine, which works with intellect, awareness, discernment. And it's actually got a fear here of knowing your own mind and making your own choices based on your own logic, intellect, awareness, discernment, sensibilities. Here we're running the permission that it's safe to know what I want. It's safe to know what I want. It's safe to know what I want. And then we're doing an emotional release of anger. It's actually from the outer lining of the small intestine, like the wall of it, but on the external side of it all. And there's actually a fair amount of adhesions in here too. It's just keeping things stickier and not allowing the intestines to be able to move and groove as they have food passing through them. And it looks like what's actually limiting it as well is there's some sort of like a toxin that's being secreted from some sort of a microbial agent in there. I don't have a sense of if it's like a parasite or a yeast or a fungus or a mold. But we are going to run body chemistry for both the external lining as well as for the internal pathogen. And it's being fed with as well anger and sadness. And it's connected to something that you picked up around age 4. Something that's been here actually a fairly long time. It's kind of still the pathogen, but the anger and the sadness. Okay, there's something around age 4 where there's a sense of I have to make peace with the lots that I've drawn in life and trying to figure out how to be acceptance, pardon me, accepting. And satisfied with what was playing out in your life. And feeling the sense of both disappointment and regrets. This is primarily connected to the soul body, the astral body. So it actually got something lodged in the imagination, which is considered to be the body of the soul, that's carrying both anger and sadness. So it's like everything that was happening was being perceived and oriented towards through the lens of anger and sadness, which would make it very challenging to manifest what it is you're desiring and make it challenging to actually appreciate what you had once you had it. Okay. As we work with this, doing an emotional release of sadness, interestingly enough, from the right side of the face, and anger from the left side of the face. It's literally all the sadness and anger around how it is you had to face your life since the age of 4 onwards. Okay, so as we work with this, just finding the right words here, bear with me. Okay, it's actually not about either side, it's what's being created in the middle. And there's a sense of both confusion and frustration from the sadness and the anger. Which is, got it, interfering with the midline's natural energy, which is meant to be that of trust. So in here, there is a not one inability, seemingly an inability, to trust life, the path of life, and how it is you're walking on that path of life. And all of that's intertwined into one gigantic piece of, well, distrust. It actually looks like a braid. Like those three pieces interwoven in all sorts of interesting configurations. The braid isn't like a smooth braid, it's quite knotted. And it's linking to age 2, at one point in time where you were learning how to do something mobility-wise, like maybe not quite learning how to walk, potentially that, but it looks like more being able to move more quickly and more accurately and more precisely. And there was like a series of face plants. So this idea of connecting to moving forward with planting your face and pain and hurt and suffering got overcoupled. Okay. So we're simply releasing that overcoupling between those events. No matter what I do to move forward, I'm going to fall on my face and hurt myself or potentially embarrass myself and have emotional pain, emotional hurt. So to support that, we're going to run circulation of all the healing resources through the midline and then run a defrag, starting with circulation of blood that carries our passion, nerve or communication. Lymph that drains your toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, along with chi or vitality, consciousness or awareness, right down into all the little guys, electrons, protons, solitons, neutrons, working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor, endorphins, hormones, and endocannabinoids that lower inflammation, anxiety, depression, help our nervous system and our immune system alike to heal. Then also working with the overall balance between yin and yang, yin being the feminine essence of nourishment, yang being that masculine essence of protection. And then running hydration, helping those cells take in water and join, releasing the impurities that no longer need to be here. And then that is connected to that defrag, much like a computer defrag or a spring clean, taking out the clutter that no longer needs to be here and what remains to be readily reorganized or utilized for healing. Okay, beautiful. I'm not quite sure how it's tying into everything just yet, but I just see the words memento mori, which in Latin means love of your fate, to be able to like love the, in essence, the configuration that you were born into and what developed and what's going to occur in your lifetime and how that will even conclude. And it's overlain with the understanding, a deeper understanding of, I think it was Carl Jung who speaks to the fact that if we do not make our unconscious conscious, we will basically say what happens to us in our entire life is just fated to be that way, versus having the understanding that we actually have a role to be able to understand that, to integrate that, and to no longer have those patterns repeat in those same ways. So I'm going to reapply memento mori to that whole process and understand that that actually is also part of what I'm going to call fate in a bigger sense. I'm personally still untangling destiny versus fate, but I think of destiny as being potentially more in line with what's going to unfold because of what you're applying and how it is you're engaging and co-creating in life begins to alter the unfolding of life itself. And interestingly enough, to support this all, we're actually running the permissions that co-creation is possible. Co-creation is possible. Okay. And interestingly enough, running the permission that it's safe to desire, it's safe to have desire, it's safe to reconnect to a deeper desire, that it's actually safe to be able to act on all the things that are necessary to begin to implement having that desire on a more steadfast basis than we already be here. Okay, loves. That's all linking to the solar plexus chakra. And we're here unhooking the belief system that life is too overwhelming to be digested, so don't bother. And releasing the fear of life swallowing you up whole. Okay. Now it's all linking into age one, and literally a fear of growing up or maturing, a fear of leaving behind infancy and moving towards toddlerhood. And a sense of like, gosh, that's gonna be a big change. I'm gonna move towards being taken care of to having independence, which means greater responsibility for having to satisfy my own desires. And the flip side of that is also there around feeling like, ugh, I'm the one who has to go do that thing. Like, fine, I'll learn how to go get it myself. Like, ugh, what a burden. So the flip side of that being the belief system that life is a burden. So some of you might have a little from column A, some of you might have more from column B, some of you might have both. It's possible to hold both of those at the same time. And in the center between those two, there's actually another way of looking at the self. That's all linking into the 10th house, house of career, achievement, recognition, outward self-expression. It's also the house of Capricorn, which I think of as being like very nimble and steadfast, even in like rocky, craggy conditions. They have the capacity to continue to climb upwards. So I think if they have like a resiliency towards obstacles or seeming obstacles. Not that they don't move through them or notice them along the way, but it's not something that limits them. They're able to keep going. Then that's linking back to the sixth house to bring in the intellect, the awareness, and discernment to know when to keep going and when it's actually necessary to rest, to pause. Because that too can become its own obstacle. Yeah, beautiful. We're going to tap this part out here. Invitation to breathe and to receive however feels right for you. Okay, loves. So you had an emotional release of sadness now. And it's around this idea that if I'm too prosperous, too successful, too vibrant, too vital, too healthy, you get the idea. That something's going to come along to deplete that resource. So, better not to accrue anything because then I just have to go through the pain of losing it or going through it or feeling like it was wasted or not being able to, again, not just take it in, but not be able to appreciate all that I have gained. Okay, so as we work with that, underlying that there's a belief system. The words are it's hopeless. And this is actually all a learned behavior pattern that came in through watching your female caregivers interact with your male caregivers. And there's a sense of people don't understand me that was in the field that you then internalized internally, obviously, and that became like a little mantra for yourself. It was like something that you learned vicariously. Okay, interesting connection. It's all connected now into the sexual chakra. which, although about vitality, it's also about being able to take action or have movement or momentum happening. And then that also includes the ability to take practical action. And here, we're reestablishing the connection that being able to move forward gets to feel pleasurable, gets to feel good, gets to be something that you even get to enjoy. What if it wasn't an uphill climb all the time, and you actually got to enjoy the scenery around you? We're unhooking from all five, six senses that says anything that says otherwise. And we're going to Sidri on that. Essentially, if I can sum this up, we're working with the theme of it has to be hard. I'm running a Sidri to address the underlying factors behind that all. It's going to run for the next 6 days. Starting with C, circulation of all those same healing resources that I mentioned earlier, followed by that defrag, much like that computer defrag or spring clean. Take care of the clutter of what no longer needs to be here, what remains can be readily reorganized for healing. Then all the R's, reevaluation, recontextualization, reprioritization, getting out of rock and hard place type of thinking and opening up to possibilities where it may have seemed like there is none before. Then integration, introspection, shift the underlying consciousness, thinking of this as the release, the surrender, the letting go. Okay. As that runs for the next 6 days, we're also going to do a little bit of work with the amygdala complex, in particular the one on the left side. The amygdala complex is a part of our limbic or emotional brain that makes choices based on fear, anger, and rage. And it decides whether we're going to overreact or be able to respond. So through this, I'm releasing the fear of connecting in particular to the object of your desire. And it might also show up as a fear of connection between people, fear of connection to spirits, fear of connection to the understanding of who and what you truly are, or anything in between. And then we're linking that to your entire, as the left brain controls the right body, to the entire right body, which is your masculine, which is about taking action. So we're supporting this to be not necessarily something that happens consciously, but subconsciously, which is the limbic brain's MO. It works subconsciously. To be able to take aligned action and to support your system in basically just laying back into that or surrendering into that or allowing that to come through. Running the permissions here that aligned action flows through me. Aligned action flows through me. And for whatever reason, the words here are also another permission statement of I can keep going. Excuse me. I can keep going. We're linking that into the vagus nerve, particularly the ventral branch, which is all about being able to relax and actually support sustainability in that way, or the capacity to keep going. Which doesn't necessarily mean always dropping forward and never resting. It actually implies that in order to keep going, we need to nourish ourselves, we need to fuel ourselves, we need to keep going. By means of pausing and resting. by means of nourishing ourselves, by fueling ourselves well. In other words, having this out here, invitation to breathe and to receive. Giving that another round of breath. And then we're heading into the eighth house. Working with the consciousness of regeneration. Okay, and it's reorienting this idea that going after what you want or sustainably manifesting your desires can actually be a source of what regenerates you versus depletes you. There's almost like this foregone conclusion that you gotta be so stocked up and ready for whatever it is that you're about to manifest or desire. That and resource for it, that it almost feels like that's an impossible task because whatever you're about to do is going to be so depleting that you won't ever actually be able to get the resources you need to do it. Okay, so a little bit of overthinking, overanalyzing going into that. I'm pretty sure I'm the poster child for that, but I'm willing to share. And as we work with this, we actually need to run another seed round, and it's going to continue for the next 4 days. Which, interestingly enough, takes us to Sunday, which is often considered to be like a day of rest. And I think of the whole, like, the set on the seventh day he rested line from the Bible as being metaphorical in the understanding of once we've reached the seventh chakra, once we've gone through all like the previous six understandings that take us through survival, and all, which is the base chakra. I won't go through all of them, but through all the six chakra layers. Then we get to transcend, or we get to like rest amongst it all. So as we link to Sunday, we're actually linking to the metaphor of as this runs for the next 4 days, more so. It's actually purposely tying into the energy of transcendence. I don't always see like the amount of days tying into a specific energy like that, but it is for today. And each day of the week has its own energetic signature or pattern. So it's actually working with orienting you in the next 4 days, and four being the number of stability, to transcend this as we link it to that end date of the Sunday. So to stably transcend that. And the seedry is the exact same as before. All the same steps, as I mentioned earlier. The circulation of all the healing resources, the defrag, the reevaluation, the recontextualization, the reprioritization, along with the integration and the introspection. Okay, loves. At the same time as all of that, heading into the emotional brain, that limbic brain, working with the thalamus, that's that solar system, the sun of our solar system, of our head brain. Everything sort of revolves around the thalamus. Everything comes in and goes through the thalamus before it goes anywhere else in the brain. Mostly, I'm taking some liberties with that explanation. And the thalamus has a bunch of different parts to it as well. We're actually not actually going into one of the parts. We're actually working with helping all the different parts of the thalamus to be harmonious together to, again, on that limbic emotional brain level, support, if you can imagine, the heart's desire, or the desire of what it is you are manifesting, as being in the center of the thalamus. All 17 parts get to harmoniously rally around that to orchestrate the stability of that coming in a way that creates deep nourishment. So again, if the thalamus is like the sun, excuse me, I'm just going to grab a Kleenex. The sun helps us to manifest the fullest life force potential possible of anything. Excuse me, y'all. So as we bring in the sun to support that manifestation process, we can trust that whatever's coming to light to be illuminated by the sunlight brings in the fullest life force potential possible here. And then we're linking that to the earth element. Interesting that they're both yellow, the sun and the earth element. As we bring into connection the capacity to be grounded or to be tethered to that object of desire. Or what it is, whatever it is you're manifesting, it might not actually be an object. And as we support the system of being landed and being grounded, opening up to the vertical axis through that midline of trust, connecting to that entire midline from the earth element, and running the permissions here that it's safe to rise above anything that's other than what it is you're manifesting. Okay, and for those of you that didn't necessarily have something shining clear at the beginning of the session where I invited in what it is you're orienting towards in life right now, know that this session will work retroactively in case there's any concerns about that. So once you become more clear on that, this session will continue to be at play. The roots or the foundation or the infrastructure of this will be ready to receive that intention. And in fact, sometimes that's what invites in that intention to become more clear. So throughout this session or afterwards, you might actually get more information or there might be a refinement of whatever it is you thought you were working towards or calling in. Okay. We're going to tap this part out here, invitation to breathe and to receive, however it feels right for you. Okay, loves. Running lymphatic drainage now through that small intestine as well as through the thalamus. As it runs through the small intestine, cleaning out any toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing. In the sixth house, releasing, like I said, the small intestine, anything around the intellect. And then as it runs through the thalamus, working through the emotional components on a subconscious level. And we're going to do the same through the fire elements and through the heart, and the small intestine is actually part of that as well. That connects us to spirit, to the ineffable, to God, universe, source, whatever your name is. And interestingly enough, at the same time as that, in parallel, there's the permissions. And it's a question, what is it to celebrate this life? What is it to celebrate in this life? And as you develop celebration energy, or we might even call a stepping stone on the way to that gratitude. As you cultivate deeper gratitude towards celebration or celebration itself, either which way, it actually supports the energetic dynamics of calling in what it is you've invited in or what it is you're orienting yourself towards. In the beginning, that can often look like we get faced with a lot more muck than we do ease, shall we say? Because as you move towards that, you actually have to let go potentially of other things that might be in the way of that. Or there might be something that you need to fortify yourself with, and the lack of that will make itself known in ways that aren't usually useful. Either which way, it'll support the system in being able to move towards whatever it is, that thing is, that you're orienting towards or calling in. And then we're simply running the permissions. The words are, I am abundance. I am abundance. I am abundance. Okay, as that happens, I begin to see the heart rise. Like literally, almost like the light of the heart begins to shine upward. Okay, as if the heart already knows with its wisdom, that abundance isn't necessarily located as much in the material plane as it is on the etheric, on the energetic, on the spiritual planes. And as it connects to that which it considers to be divine, it begins to learn what abundance is, so it can more readily manifest it physically on the material plane. Also opening to receive as it does, and calling in reception or receptivity at the level of the physical or the material plane. And in doing so, going through the kosha specifically of the soul body, which again is your imagination. To invite you now to imagine whatever it is flowing through you and into you, whatever it is you're calling in, and even if you're not sure what that is, just working with the quality of abundance itself and calling in whatever it is, if you do have something specific, with abundance energy, calling it in abundantly. As you call it in abundantly, remembering, almost like we're bringing in a satellite as a, pardon me, a resource satellite, here, of the understanding of the universe as nothing small. If you look around, you don't necessarily see just one tree out there, you see a gazillion trees. Last beach that you were at didn't have a few grains of sand, it was infinite grains of sand, or seemingly not quite infinite, but darn near, it feels like. If you had to count them all, whew, millions, billions. There isn't just one star in the sky, there's many. There's not just a few leaves on a tree. There's a lot. Yeah. I know we're in the area of fall or spring, depending upon what hemisphere you're in the world, so that might not be the clearest example, but you get the gist. So as we work with this, abundance, running the permissions that I can take this in ways that easily regenerate me I can take this in ways that easily regenerate me. An opening to that nourishment with wild abandon. As you do that, releasing the expectation of hurt, the expectation of pain, and the expectation of actual abuse. From, in particular, the area between the shoulder blade and the spine on the right side, which is your masculine lineage side. So it might not be necessarily your lifetime, it might have been a masculine ancestor. We're going back 7 generations with this. Okay, we're tapping this part out here. Invitation to breathe and to receive. And there's a very specific phrase coming in, and the words here are simply, I am surrounded by love. I am surrounded by love. I am surrounded by love. And I see that almost like like the helix of the DNA, that specific pattern of a vibration wave coming in from the heavens through the ethers, through, again, I'm still seeing this outstretched posture of the hands rising to the sky, the heart bending backwards, lifted, soaring, rising, the energy coming through the hands into the body, coming through the face into the head brain, through the arms into the hearts, and through the pelvis into the lower body, supporting all your centers of doing, and understanding that they don't actually have to do anything to be loved, that they're actually just simply loved as they are. And that it's everywhere. There's actually nothing to be done to earn it or to gain it or to have it. It's just everywhere. It's interesting that the center of being, which is our torso, everything between chest and pelvis, although open, isn't necessarily drinking it in. It just doesn't seem to be receiving it. There's like a little blockage at the top and at the bottom and on the sides, front and back, it's every direction. Okay, and it's carrying the belief system deeply subconscious of the words, I shouldn't be in love. I shouldn't be in love. And here we're releasing the fear of being in love and that leading to hurt or the potential of opening up in ways that may cause pain. And we're releasing a series of active memories from times where love did not go your way, it did not go well. It's enough to actually have formed a little bundle of belief systems that no longer need to be here. In body talk lingo, we would call it a matrix. We're simply unhooking that through, if we could imagine, like the center of your being as being like a 3D oval balloon. We're releasing it from the entire edges of that balloon. So every which directionality gets addressed, including actually the fourth dimension. We're going to go back through time and space itself and release it through there as well. And with that, the torso begins to open up to also receive the energy of love all the way through the centers of doing and being. It looks different, and it gets to be different to support all the different facets of each and every individual area of you. For how your head needs to be loved might be different than how your intestines want to be loved. And then we're running a related permissions, which is simply the words that life itself is a miracle. Life itself is a miracle. And we're orienting the heart along with all five, six senses to that understanding to support. I got a big dog sigh on that one. She's been waiting for that one. To support the consciousness of both wonder and awe in landing even more deeply into the system. Interesting. As that happens, we're linking into the throat chakra in particular. Not that the chakra is overly typically divided between left and right, but we're typically working with the whole thing. But for whatever reason, this is going to the left side of the chakra, which has a little bit of stagnant energy. It's like the upper left-hand quadrant of the throat chakra itself. It's just kind of stuck. Everything else is swirling and fluid, but there's like a frozen bit there. And it's working with those times in which you felt put on the spot to provide an answer, but you didn't have one, but you had to come up with something in order to keep whoever it is you were talking to either happy or from potentially hurting you. It's going back to ages 2, 3, 4. And it's working with a fear of being in trouble and how you thought to creatively express yourself to potentially get out of trouble, and that not usually working at ages 2, 3, 4 very well. So, sense of no matter what your explanation was, it was useless and didn't actually work. So, here releasing the expectation of failure and that your efforts don't actually amount to anything. Okay, interesting. And without it's flowing, it's actually linking into the consciousness of flow, not just of energy, but again of those healing resources, in particular the blood, the nerve, and the lymph. And we're doing that through all the centers of the being, the head, the arms, the legs. So through all the different types of nerves, afferents, efferents, to be a bit geeky, forgive me if that doesn't land, feel free to ignore that. Through all the different lymphatic vessels and through all the different arteries, veins, capillaries, all the different blood vessels. And we're running the permissions, in particular through the blood vessels that bring in our passion and our flow. To change, to embrace change in a way that healthily supports, again, your manifestation of whatever it is you're calling in or orienting towards with your passion. Like it's safe to actually reconnect passionately to what it is you want in life. That's looking into the veins in a sense of sometimes what was being detoxed, being overwhelming, as the veins carry a small amount of waste. The lymph system carries more of the bigger chunks of waste. But here we're working in particular with the blood vessels themselves are trying to clean out the smaller chunks of waste. And for that, doing an emotional release of sadness. In particular, around the belief system of things aren't getting through. Things aren't getting through. To the point where it may have felt like I don't have a leg to stand on. So we're literally clearing the energy out to support greater blood flow through the legs, which will also support integration and happening in good ways. Just clearing out any consciousness through the veins, in particular through the legs, to again support your capacity to stand and to stand in a place of invitation where you get to continue to call in and orient magnetically towards what it is you're drawing in. And to support that further, releasing any adhesions or any tendency to brace against actually getting what it is you want that you're orienting towards and calling in through the releasing adhesions through the walls of the veins themselves. As we do that, opening up the veins to allow greater ease, flow, as well as detoxification. Mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually. That's linking into the very hips themselves and supporting the capacity to seat yourself on a new foundation. That's all linking into the 11th house. This is the house of group consciousness, of harmonious wisdom. Found through a group. It also works with. I'm gonna grab my cheat sheet. This is what I got. Aspirations. There we go. That's what I was missing. And it works with the gallbladder. And it's almost as if this 11th house gallbladder is carrying the energy of doubt. Like, who am I to have aspirations or necessarily have aspirations that get met? And here we're releasing the familiar pattern of playing small and expecting to actually not get what it is you're going after. Never mind, be able to appreciate it. Okay, we're tapping this part out here. Invitation to breathe and to receive however feels right for you. Okay. Giving that a slow, deep breath that feels right, touching in on that resource that we found at the beginning of the session. And so the song, I'm going to cherry pick based off of what came up today. The song is by Beautiful Chorus. It's from Mantras in Love, and it's called I Easily Find Abundance. Invitation to breathe, to receive. Just let yourself be nourished here.
Abundant, abundant, I easily find
Thank you for the opportunity to work together with these mice, and thank you for calling this medicine in. And thank you for being you exactly as you are. I look forward to hearing how today's session plays out for everybody. Wishing you a beautiful rest of your day and mwah, week ahead. Blessings, everybody. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Peace, peace, peace. And you're most welcome. Sherry, I swear your emojis get more colorful each and every week. I love it. Thank you. Keep that coming. Okay. Mwah, mwah, mwah. If anybody needs any additional support, feel free to hang out. I'm going to stop the recording here.